What's up, everybody? Welcome to Remember Blank, the show where we remember our favorite and sometimes least favorite video game memories exclusively on patreon.com/kindoffunny. I'm Greg, that's Blessing, that's Mike. And if you want to be part of the nostalgia with us, head on over to kindoffunny.com/rememberblank to be part of the show. Today's topic is pulled from the pages of it's the end of the year. We already talked about game of the year. You guys already did a great job remembering Thanksgiving games. I'm very, very proud of that.
Did you listen to that episode?
I started it, yeah. Okay. I haven't gotten all the way through. I just ran out of time today on the ride to work because we were talking about it yesterday. Hold on, I'm throwing it open because there's one very sad comment on it that I appreciated.
Thank you.
No, no, you're not going to appreciate it, all right? It's because screwed this kid's life up. All right, you understand that?
Oh, did we burn him?
Did we burn him? That's very possible.
You know, you did. It was booting up here. There's the one comment on the patreon.com/kindoffunny version of it, right? And it's from Gavin, who says, "Dang, wrote into this for the first time of my brother and I playing Madden just for the episode to get shit on." Got his ass!
We spiked it on you, fool.
Oh, man. What a good episode. Man.
So, you know, it's the end of the year. You get nostalgic. You look back on 2023. You do all this different stuff. But I said, if we're doing Remember Blank, we got to remember your favorite video game of all time, too. Yeah. Let's just talk about it at a glance, in a big way. You know what I mean? Mike, when I say your favorite video game of all time, what do you remember?
Man, I remember a lot, Greg. And, you know, fortunately for me, I've probably narrowed it down to about my top five video games.
Nice.
But I'm going to give you my number one.
Okay.
It's The Sims.
Oh.
I love and adore The Sims. It is something inside of me from a young child getting The Sims 1 on the early PC days to now playing the brand new Sims and all the expansions. But there's something that awakens in me from the character creator to picking your traits and your backgrounds and what kind of, you know, playfulness, how cleanly your character will be, to then going in and moving into a home. And you have so many different aspects. You can cheat like me and type in Rosebud and Motherlode and get all the money and put in all the fancy doodads that you want, or you start from the ground up and you work your way up, right? Oh. And I loved doing that. Back in the day, you could only get a job through the newspaper or through your computer, and I would sign up. Maybe I'd join the military this time. Maybe I'd work in the restaurant industry this time. Maybe I'd become a hospital vet. You know what I mean?
So you had to go into your business for yourself. When I was playing Sims on PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
What I would do is, it was EGM, I think, that put out this tip, but just make garden gnomes. And then you could sell the garden gnomes.
That's cool.
You'd eventually start mass producing garden gnomes to where you only had to work like a couple hours a day. And then the rest of the time, do whatever you want.
Yeah. And so I love that, right? As a boy, I didn't have a doll set, right? I just had a football my dad threw out my head and I couldn't catch it. And so it's fun of like, you could play with these action figures, these dolls, and do whatever you want inside the little house and make it your own. And for me, I loved HGTV growing up. I loved creating my own space, and I always found that so novel and cool in The Sims of, hey, you can tear down this whole home and build it however you want and decorate the inside however you want, or you can build with from within on what we already have. And so it's funny enough, every time I have moved now from Tahoe to San Francisco or the new one, I have used The Sims to look at a space, create the space, and then build with inside of it. So right now I can already tell you what my streaming setup will look like in the new house, thanks to The Sims. Maybe I've doxed myself a couple of times building my actual home, so you know the layout. So if you wanted to murder me, you'd be like, oh, let me look at the stream from November 27th, 2013.
I don't know if the IKEA bookshelf was going to stop the murder.
they're coming
through the window. They didn't know it was there.
But I love The Sims. Endless possibilities. So cool. You make them have sex. You drown them in a pool.
Of course.
You have babies. It is just a fun, cool game that will always go down as one of my top all-time games.
Yeah, that was one that was like an Addison joint where I would go over to Addison's house, and he had The Sims. Hell, and I think that was still when I had a Nintendo 64, and so I was still stuck on like a certain type of video game, and then I would go to Addison's house, and it was always cool going to his house because it felt like I was stepping into the future whenever I would step into his room, right? Because like he had a PS2, and so he would bust out games like GTA, God of War, and The Sims, and I remember like him booting up The Sims and me being like, what is this? Like, why aren't we taking out enemies? Like, why aren't we, like, killing people? Like,
no, you got to get a job.
Yeah, and it's him building a house, and it's him, like, doing all the quote-unquote role-playing stuff, right? Like, actually going through this simulation of what life is. And I just remember that being such a different thing for me, and also me being like, man, video games are weird. Like, video games are turning
into
something.
They can be anything.
They can be anything, honestly. Yeah. Like, it was, like, the first, probably the first foray into me being like, wow, yeah, like, video games can be really different, but also Addison's having a blast playing this thing. Oh. I'm watching. It's not the best game to watch somebody else play.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I much preferred watching him play God of War. But yeah, he would play Sims in front of me. I'd just be sitting there like, all right, cool. They're speaking of gibberish. They're saying Zabini Dude on, like, you know, banging each other in Simlish. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, have fun, I guess.
Nothing worse than battling your Sim who has to go to the bathroom, has not had fun, needs to sleep. And you're like, no, your ass needs to get to work. Do a better job so we can be promoted. And they'd come home and they'd want so many of their needs fulfilled. And I'd be like, no, your ass, go right back to work. I need you to get that promotion because we need money. God, it's a
The
cool
Sims
game.
2 was the first game I ever professionally reviewed. It was published video game review. Yeah, I was in college. And in one of my journalism classes, the editor of the magazine that was the insert walked in and was like, is this the class of the video game guy? And everyone turned and looked at me, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you want to review The Sims 2 for us? I was like, sure. Why this had to happen, it had to happen.
Wow.
But they had early code on like 9 different CD-ROMs that I had to load onto this shitty-ass PC at the Columbia, Missouri, the University of Missouri, and then sit there and build my house and, you know, do it all out and talk about it.
That's cool, Greg.
Those were the days.
That's cool.
Blessing.
Greg.
When I say your favorite video game, what do you think of?
It's been an interesting one because I've been under a, you know, favorite game of all time crisis.
Oof.
Yeah, I've been in a crisis where...
You hate to see it.
Like the last few years, if you would ask me a favorite game of all time, I probably would have said Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Sure.
And then Tears of the Kingdom came out earlier this year.
Oh, snap.
And I don't think I can make any argument that Tears of the Kingdom isn't better than Breath of the Wild. Like, in every way, I think it's a step forward. But I still don't have the same... I don't have, like, the same nostalgia and memories. Maybe as the years go on and that builds, right? But, like, there's something about Breath of the Wild that I still retain is, like, oh, but this was special. And Tears of the Kingdom was special, but special in a different way. So I think my answer is still going to be Breath of the Wild, at least for now. Ask me again in 2 years. But
and this is always, like, me with God of War 2018. Mm-hmm. Ragnarok's a better game, I think, but I still have 2018 as the top of that.
And I think for me, with Breath of the Wild, is the fact that it felt like such an adventure moment to moment, and I didn't know what was going to happen when I went to any area. And so I remember my first time going to Kakariko Village, my first time going to, walking by the Lost Forest or Lost Woods, and like, you know, figuring out what that whole thing was going to be, right? Or like, you know, going to the Zora's Domain for the first time, and every single one of these moments stick out to me in a way that really lended to Tears of the Kingdom being such a special thing, because Tears of the Kingdom, I'm retreading a lot of those same steps. And so now when I go to Kakariko, oh, something's different. When I go to Zora's Domain, it's like, oh, something's different here, right? And that makes that game special. But Breath of the Wild, having my first experience into all these different locations, at least in this version of Zelda, was so special, along with the open world being what I think I had always wanted an open world game to be for me. And I always go back and I think about like big innovative experience that I've had in video games, right? The ones that blew my mind in terms of, wow, video games can be this big and open. And I think of I think of GTA, I think of Fallout, I think of GTA 5.
Keep it going, baby.
I think of GTA 4, I think of GTA San Andreas. But Zelda Breath of the Wild is one of those for me where, you know, like, Being able to have a game go, all right, we're going to drop you into the Great Plateau, but you look around and you see a thing in the sky. You see a big volcano, that's Death Mountain. You see like a Zelda, or a Zelda.
You see a Zelda. Desert,
you see a desert area, like somewhere in the difference, right? And like the way Zelda was able to create that like sense of wonder and that sense of mystery of, oh, I can kind of go anywhere in this world and experience whatever, and it really deliver on that. And on top of having incredible puzzles, on top of having fun combat, on top of having the abilities and the physics systems that felt like it was pushing things so far. I think Zelda Breath of the Wild is easily my favorite experience of playing a video game.
It's funny, you know, of course, you write in to be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/rememberblank. And plenty of people wrote in about Zelda. Andy wrote in, not our Andy, but a different Andy wrote in about Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom is everything I want in games. Emotionally resonant, full of content, and just plain fun in a way that never gets old. But I think that can speak to Breath of the Wild, too, in terms of going off and exploring and finding all these different things. SME Bird wrote in and said, has to be Ocarina of Time for its magical story and the world that still draws me into this day. ... Or God of War 2018 for genuinely surprising me. ... Or Spider-Man 2018 for being my first platinum. ... Or maybe Last of Us that I play through at least once a year.
Yeah. ...
Or it could be Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for its soundtrack, gameplay, solid controls, beautiful late 90s, early aughts graphics. ... Games are good.
Hell yeah.
They are.
On top of that, we had one here from Evan who wrote in and said, Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker. The art style is timeless. It's a great Zelda game. And at the time, the sailing was such a massive and successful change for the series. You know, I've talked about my games for a long time, so I don't need to beat a dead horse. But Ocarina always on that short list. You know what I mean? When they did that thing recently of like the Ocarina in HD or what it would look like as a Ghibli thing or is it going to be remade and stuff, that always gets me so excited. Even though I'm sure if it got like a real remake, like a Resident Evil 2 remake.
Yeah.
I don't just need a, you know, sharper visuals thing. I don't want that. I'd rather go back and see what's up that way because I love that goddamn game.
I never knew that about you.
I did.
I learned something now.
Well, I'm glad you learned that about me.
You know, I'm not the biggest Zelda jabroni, so it's all new to me.
Yeah. And that, right in that list of all those games, Last of Us was also my shortlist.
Right? Oh,
like, yeah. That was one that as the years go, Last of Us 1 just climbs higher and higher on my list. And I love it just for, you know, like how simple and straightforward of a story is, but I think how powerful that story and how powerful those characters are portrayed in that story, right?
Sure.
Like, I identify with Joel, I identify with Ellie, I identify with that relationship. I think what they do in terms of establishing who Joel is as a character early on and his loss and then looping that back around is so, again, it's so straightforward, it's so simple, but it's so effective and it's done so cleanly. And then, yeah, like the gameplay of it too. Like, when I think of the games that go for the moment to moment, like cinematic action game, I think Last of Us is my favorite one of those by far.
How about, really quick, how about Last of Us Part Two? You brought up Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and then Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Does Last of Us Part Two have that gusto, have that juice like the first one for you?
I think it does. I still have the first one more near and dear to my heart. And okay. I think it is.
Because it's a brand new experience?
Not even that. I think it's more so, I think the first one for me is more. There's quality in more moments for me in the first one, right? I think Last of Us Part Two pushes things in terms of the gameplay, and then also it has a more radical story that it's telling. But for me, there are some shortcomings in how radical it is going with that story. And like, I like the story of Last of Us One more than Last of Us Two, right? I like the themes of Last of Us One more than Last of Us Two. I like how Last of Us One is about connection and it's about rebuild, like Joel finding his humanity again in LA, right? And in this adventure they go on together. Whereas Last of Us Two being more about the cycle of violence and being a bit more about like, hey, like, when do we stop this? And, like, you know, the amount of the scenes where it is Ellie fucking, like, destroying somebody and you get to the end of the game and it's like, oh, man, this is bro. Like, that didn't sit with me as well. Like, I think I prefer Last of Us 1 in a lot of those ways, but Last of Us 2 is still up there for me.
Okay.
Glutenful says, my favorite game of all time is The Last of Us. Oh, that's such a boring answer. So I'm going to write about my second favorite, Portal 2.
Hell yeah.
Portal 2 is, in my opinion, the closest game has ever gotten to being flawless. The writing was genuinely funny. The gameplay was hard enough to not get it instantly, but easy enough to figure it out pretty quick and get the satisfaction. There's not a single bad area in the game. The new additions are fun, and its graphics have a timeless look to them due to the art style. Then, the co-op is some of the best co-op content in gaming. To top it off, they released a free co-op DLC that has very difficult levels and a free level editor. Portal 2, hard to believe it lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
Because Portal 1 was like such a fucking insane moment. When the orange box dropped, this thing, we didn't know what it was. You got in there. There's this song at the end. I mean, you want to talk about like the way GLaDOS took off, right? That she was just everywhere. That song was the song was in Rock Band. That was the biggest thing going for a second. So then to come in and make, hey, we're going to do it again. Portal 2, we're going to give you Wheatley, we're going to give you GLaDOS again, we're going to do all this stuff and have it still fucking crush, insane.
Yeah, I mean, to the point of, you know, first game versus second game and the first experience and all that stuff, Portal 2, undeniably, is like way above and beyond what Portal 1 does, right? And Portal 1 is special in its own right, but Portal 2, what they do with the writing, what they do with the characters, yeah, adding in Wheatley, adding in like way more mechanics, and like when you get to certain locations in Aperture, that is like, wow, this is different, right? Like, this is taking us elsewhere. That's one that sticks out to me. And even my short list, like, I have an ongoing list that I tweak and add things to. And on my list of probably, 100 of my favorite games of all time, I have Portal 2 at my number 16.
Nice. A good number to insert into that, yeah. Mike.
16.
16, yeah.
That's a good number.
That's a great number.
We're just throwing that
out. What about, 16 is a top five number. I'll say it.
Mike, how does this feel drive for you? 4D Viz writes in and says, Kingdom Hearts 2.
Wow.
Oh, two.
Tonight,
okay.
Me so much about. He means taught. Taught me. Tonight, me so much about. Tonight, me so much about Disney. Taught me so much about Disney, friends, and how JRPGs work. Some really tough boss battles, too. Incredible music that I still listen to this day.
Yeah, I mean, Kingdom Hearts 1 stole my heart. I am really impressed with it. I had so much fun during that journey, and I look forward to playing 2. But if I think Janet said it so well, if I was a kid playing this back in the day, this would have been my personality. This would have been my life, right? But like for me, it wasn't that. So when I was watching Aladdin, Pocahontas, you were watching the greats of Disney back in the early 90s, I didn't have this to go to, and I would have gone crazy if this was it. Yeah, I would have. I would have been nuts.
That was definitely me as a kid with Kingdom Hearts 1. I didn't get around to Kingdom Hearts 2 until as an adult, and by then it was a little bit too late. Yeah. Right? Where I go back to Kingdom Hearts 2, and I'm like, oh man, this isn't hitting like it was when I was a kid playing Kingdom Hearts 1, because it is the Disney properties, it is the music. Like I go back and I listen to Simple and Clean today, and I get chills.
Oh,
I get hit in that way. Good. But yeah, like I think that's one where whenever you meet Kingdom Hearts fans and they live and breathe Kingdom Hearts, it is, oh, I grew up with this, and like I waited a decade for Kingdom Hearts 3, and when I finally got it, like, you know, like it blew me away. Like you have to have that kind of thing with it.
Yeah, what a cool idea to take all those Disney IPs that you know and love and blend it with like that Final Fantasy universe slash like gameplay and make something so special, right? Because like we've talked about those like old school Disney games that we love from Toy Story and all the Rugrats and all those other games, right? It's like totally different than what this was. And this is pretty special. That is Kingdom Hearts.
Here's one that's special. You don't hear this a lot. Levi Shanks writes in and says, my favorite game of all time is Death Stranding.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Before playing it, I never touched a Hideo Kojima game before. Ooh. I'd always known the Metal Gear series was sacred stuff, but I could never find a draw into it. My draw into Death Stranding? Just how sheer fucking strange it was. The star power helped, sure, but what was with the baby? Why were there an army of skeletons working with Mads Mikkelsen? Rain on the skin does what? It was a complete mindfuck of a concept, and the trailers just added fuel to the fire. It looked unique, to say the least, and I was in for it. Upon picking up the limited edition PlayStation 4 Pro, yes, I was committed to this, my expectation of copious amounts of weird shit were met with tranquility instead. What followed was a 146-hour adventure that led me to a platinum, a newfound appreciation of one of gaming's greatest creators, and the best peace of mind I've experienced in some time. I struggle with depression and anxiety, and while I definitely got my weird what-the-fuck-is-happening stuff in the game, I also got the calming and serene bliss of just taking a walk in some beautiful landscapes. It quieted my mind, and Death Stranding will always have a place in my heart for that. And yes, I've since played the Metal Gear series, and it's one of my favorites now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Take a ride off that high with that Kojima joint, right? Like, man, what a weird fucking game, and what a fun, peaceful game. Like you said, like you said, you quiet your mind, you just take that walk, and you look around at all the different surroundings and the opportunities to build as well if you're into that. What a crazy idea, and what a fun, like, just, I think hey,
that
I'm
game
hanging.
Is, that game is special. Yeah. Like, it's a weird one that I know isn't for everybody, but the fact that, yeah, you have this game that is AAA, that is gorgeous, that stars Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen, and has this star power, and mechanically, it is just a delivery game. Like, it is like walking sim in the literal definition. You're just walking around carrying heavy things and trying to balance. But the fact that they use that setup in order to build this narrative around, you know, people being disconnected and how do we reconnect people through the chiral network, and the chiral network being like the stand-in for the internet in this weird way. Yep. And it being like this weird meta commentary, accidental meta commentary on like pandemic, because like in that game they're basically in a pandemic, right? The worst pandemic you can ask for, and then like kind of having to live that in 2020 and beyond. That game weirdly like hit for me because I played it through full a year ago on the Steam Deck. But also like, you know, I think it does all that stuff while also having like this weird, like a lot of interesting things to say about like, again, connectedness and you know, like helping each other, like the whole sticks and stones thing of like, I'm going to build a bridge and it's going to show up in somebody else's game and I'm going to like it and we're going to help each other and like help each other get over these, like build bridges together and get over these gaps together. Really weird stuff that I think at the end of the day works, right? Like not the most fun game, but a game that I really appreciate for what it tries to do and like the messages that it has.
When we reviewed it, I reviewed it as, and I called it a meditative experience. Like that, I will always remember playing Death Stranding in the dead of winter in Quebec, where we had gone up there and not only visited Jen's family, we then drove up and hung out with her friends. And it was me and Portillo and Larry, the bulldog that was their bulldog, on the couch under the blankets while they went off to do whatever in the snow. But I was on deadline and I sat there and played this. And it was like such a serene, tranquil, meditative experience to be lost in it, where it was like I never wanted the combat, I just wanted the how do I get there as fast as possible and not drop my stuff. And like I've tried to go back to like, I wanted to platinum it at one point, even though 146 hours is insane. I could never possibly touch that now. But like, I've wanted to go back, and when I get, I just can't get back to that place. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard to jump back in the middle of it and like, yeah, I should never left.
Yeah. Building a zipline in that game, very satisfying also. Yeah.
So cool. Remember when Hideo Kojima said Americans aren't smart enough to understand? Hideo, blessing understood.
I understood. Blessing and also, you know, I agree.
Yeah, Americans are dumb.
You know, we're idiots.
Speaking of being a big dummy, Alex says, Sonic Adventure 2 has an insanely good soundtrack. The only big gameplay issue for me are the shooter levels. Better than the first adventure, but still not good. Everything else is serviceable. Would not recommend to modern gamers, though. The gameplay is extremely punishing for people not used to it.
I agree.
Why did you write in for your favorite game
Hell
of
yeah.
all time?
Hell
with
yeah.
this favorite, not best. Review. Then we got two funny ones to end it on. Sydney writes in and says, Civ 6 is always there for me when I need it. New job, Civ 6. Broke up with my boyfriend, Civ 6.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
Shout out to Civilization 6.
My buddy Washi loves Civ.
Yeah.
He'll sit there every night. Hey, maybe we all should play Civ. And then like half of us will download it. We'll try. He won't teach us anything. We just suck.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we're never playing Civ with you, Washi. Goodbye, you know?
Yeah, so, get him.
I appreciate you.
Your final one is Ty Harrington, who writes in and says, I lost a job because I regularly overslept from staying up too late playing Football Manager. I have grown up and am more mature now. Also, I don't buy the game every year anymore.
Good for you.
I like
That's
that.
Cool.
I like those kind of memories.
Did you answer yours?
I feel like everybody knows. I feel like I'm a broken record.
Yeah.
God of War 2018, followed closely by Peace Walker. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think maybe Peace Walker is going to get back to that number one slot. Just
give us
love
your number
Peace
16
Walker.
Game.
What's your number 16?
That's what I want to know. What's your number 16?
I don't have it right off the top of the dome.
I don't have a little document like Wes has with all the box arts on it.
I can figure out a 16 for Greg.
I did it. The top 10 of all time. Let's go to my top 10 of all time. Greg
Miller.
Oh,
wow. He has it.
Greg. Well, I mean, it was an IGN article. Top 10
Ghostbusters for the Sega
of all time. That's on there somewhere. Yeah.
Madden 2005.
No, I did not put Madden 2005. Greg Miller's top 10 games of all time. This was posted on February 10th, 2014. So a bit out of date, but let's see how much I would disagree with. Number 10, Ghostbusters.
Oh, there you go. Easy.
This should be a shit list.
Yeah, this could be a great shit list.
Number 9, are you strong for me? The Death and Return of Superman on the Sega Genesis. Mm. Again, a lot of this, I forget what I gave you, my
intro. Did Tim Gettys do one of these? Because if Tim Gettys did one of these.
No, because, well, maybe.
It has to be a shit list.
I think it was
actually just
editorial. Tim Gettys... Top 10 games of all time.
Because that's going to be the next shit list if it is.
It does not look like he did.
That's all good. Maybe Alfredo Diaz did one.
What was number 8? Number 8, Lumines PSP. Sure. Number 7, Mario Kart Double Dash GameCube. Mm. Hell yeah.
Sick
number
game.
6, Infamous PlayStation 3. Mm. Number 5, Patapon PSP. Patapon 2 PSP. Number 3.
We skipped
four. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception, PlayStation 3. Number 3, Super Mario World SNES. Number 2, The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, N64. And number 1, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
Wow.
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 A lot of those games still on there. You know what I mean?
Good for you.
Thank you.
Stick to your brand. Infamous, all right.
Great
top 10. God damn.
I forget what I explained, how I explained it, but we need an Infamous remaster like nobody's got.
Spider-Man
business.
Easily is going to replace Infamous on your list now.
Maybe. Maybe easy, maybe not. You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for remembering with us. Remember, we need your input for future episodes of Remember Blank. We are closing out 2023, which means we have 3 more episodes. I need your Last of Us memories. Interpret how you like the show, part 2, part 1. Going to the store, tripping, falling on a Last of Us sign, that counts. I want you to remember your favorite gaming memories of 2023, period. Not like game of the year, but your favorite memories. And then your Christmas games for memories as well. I need all that. Well, hopefully that'll be better than Thanksgiving, and you won't upset the audience. Blessing a mic. We'll have to find out, though.
Also, are we still writing in jokes about Andy?
No, that's closed.
Oh, okay.
There's just a lot of short jokes.
Oh, man.
Remember, you can write in kindoffunny.com/rememberblank. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.